Inside the Epson Gallery, art therapist Sherry Jacobs would like you to meet one of her patient artists.
This is Arlene Stern, and because she has no use of her hands or her feet, she began painting with her mouth about 10 years ago and has consequently started a business selling stationery and creating her own artwork. So,
do you enjoy painting?
Yes, I do. If it wouldn't have been for Sherry Jacobs, I'd be sitting like a dummy because she taught me everything I knew about painting.
I'm Jabalani Lafall, and on today's program, stories of how art therapy is changing lives from Saudi Arabia to right here in the Kansas City metro area. That's all ahead on Central Standard after this hour's news. Good morning, Kansas City. Just as the pearl serves as an artistic and creative testament to the life of an oyster, artwork is sometimes an individual human's most complete autobiography. And to our guest today, life is the most honest and the artwork the truest when it is used therapeutically, helping to change lives from African refugee camps to retirement homes. This is Central Standard. I'm Jabalani Lafall. And join us now to talk about the healing nature and artistic license of art therapy are Marcus Kane, executive director and curator at the Kansas City Jewish Museum and an artist himself, and Sherry Jacobs, art therapist and president of the Kansas Art Therapy Association, as well as James Martin, program consultant for the Truman Medical Center Healing Arts Program. He's an art historian and independent curator as well. Welcome to the show, one and all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How did everyone get involved in this particular facet of art and this particular area of therapy? Sherry, let's begin with you. What was your aha moment?
My aha moment took place in Israel. I was traveling thinking about becoming an art therapist, and I was having lunch with a group of Bedouin people. Bedouins were nomadic people for many thousands of years.
And still are.
They're actually starting to acculturate and become non-nomadic due to the volatile borders of where they were wandering. And in this particular lunch, I was speaking to the guide that I was with, and he mentioned that what his people really need to acculturate into the Israeli society is an art therapist, which was very unusual to hear that. We were in the middle of the desert, in the middle of a tent, and far away from modern society. This was a field I had been considering for a long time, and that was my aha moment.
So prior to that aha moment, you had entered the field of psychology.
I actually hadn't.
You hadn't?
No,
so
I was in
this
sales.
You were in sales.
And so
being with a group of Bedouins got you into psychology and art.
Right. I was
just
always
by saying
in
they
art
needed
making,
art
right.
therapy.
That was my aha moment.
And what about that aha moment pushed you into that?
I think I've always used art in my life as a healing process for myself. And I found art making to be a really communicative, excellent way to learn more about people, and that was, I think most art therapists would tell you that that's how they find their way into art therapy, is through those aha moments.
Now, there's an area of psychology with a concentration on art, therapeutic art. Tell us about that. Tell us about that niche.
Art therapy is a professional field, and there are master's degree programs in art therapy. There's about 25 in the United States, and in Kansas City, we have about 45 to 60 practicing art therapists. Across the United States, there's 6,000 art therapists, and we are trained in the field of art therapy, which is really a marriage of art making and psychotherapy.
Sherry, can art therapy be a healthy practice for any of our listeners tuned in right now, regardless of their background? You have an exercise called the tiny graffiti wall that folks can do from home. How about coaching our listeners
through this
graffiti wall right now?
A little experimental. I've never done an art therapy group with the greater Kansas City area all at once, but we're going to try this, and we're going to try
First
this here in
everything.
The studio as well.
Right.
So we thought, while people are listening, we'd do a little art therapy exercise. And the idea behind this is that we just want to tap into our right brain, try a little bit of art making while we're listening, and just experiment and see what happens. And my instruction today is to find some paper and find some anything to draw with, to write with. It might be a pen, a pencil. And we're going to imagine a graffiti wall.
If you're listening, find some paper. And for listeners, when you're done with your tiny graffiti wall, email or old-fashioned mail us with your results, centralstandard@kcur.org, with your results. Old-fashioned mail, by the way, is our phone at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888, because the real old-fashioned mail probably wouldn't get here till tomorrow or the day after that, and then we'll be too late to get those results in. So,
okay,
tiny
so
graffiti.
I'm
take
not
it back, Sherry.
Endorsing graffiti and by any means. I don't think it's okay to deface property, but the idea of graffiti is that it's really free form. There's no right or wrong way to do it. There's no mistakes. And I think because we're the day following Valentine's Day, that could sometimes be an emotional day for people. So I think we'll just kind of think about self-love, okay? In case people are aggravated about the day before of being bombarded with Valentine's Day.
Because graffiti is the first thing you think of.
Right, graffiti is the first thing to think of. So on our little graffiti wall, we're just going to doodle. You might think of words. You might think of maybe doodling your name across. That's usually the first thing people do when they use graffiti. But as you're listening, as we're talking this morning, you might think of maybe things that you love about yourself. You might think of symbols. You might think of words. You might even think of some messages maybe if you're having a hard time thinking about something about yourself that you love, maybe something someone else about you admires. You might scribble that across your wall. And again, there's no right or wrong way to do this. But just enjoy yourself.
So we got James Martin, the art historian and independent curator. He's participating. I'm going to participate as I talk because we walk, talk, and chew gum at the same time here at Central Standard. No gum, but walking and drawing. Before the show began, a minute before the NPR news broadcast, we heard a clip from a resident of Village Shalom, where the Kansas City Jewish Museum is housed and where Sherry has been lending art therapy workshops. Sherry, tell us as we do this art therapy about Arlene.
Arlene Stern is a resident at Village Shalom. She's lived at Shalom for many, many years. She's a quadriplegic. And I started doing art therapy groups at Village Shalom about 10 years ago. And they brought her and another quadriplegic to my group for several months, week after week. And these women would sit by the side of the table and watch everybody paint. And they were quiet, they were attentive, but they weren't participating, and it was very hard to watch. One day, I was very frustrated because I felt like I wasn't meeting their needs. I had both of them experiment with putting a paintbrush in their mouths, and the result was phenomenal. Both of these women were quiet when I met them, and they had been quiet in their lives. And drawing, the ability to draw with their mouth really opened up different sides of them that they didn't know possible. They were able to reach in and see and find parts of themselves. And as a consequence, they became much more verbal in their lives and much more active and much more social.
Now, what made you decide to have them use paintbrushes in their mouths? What,
I think,
from an art therapy standpoint, what made you decide to do that?
As art therapists, we're often looking for solutions, for creative solutions, and being very flexible in whatever environment we're thrown into with whatever population we're working with. And this just seemed like a way to help somebody convey their feelings in a nonverbal way.
Marcus Kane, tell us about artisipation.
Well, it's an idea that has been in development for a couple of years, and it actually is something that I've thought a lot about over the last few years, and we finally were able to launch it as an exhibition program in the Epstein Gallery. The Kansas City Jewish Museum has two programs, the Epstein Gallery at Village Shalom and Museum Without Walls, which is an outreach program. And once I met Sherry, and that was really sort of the link, I think, that we were missing to really fully implement the program. So we started by looking at artwork being made by residents and realized that we needed to do an exhibition of their work and bring this activity to the public and essentially try to use the gallery space in a different way as a community studio space.
And you're an artist with an artistic background. So what was your aha moment going into therapy? And what made you come up with the pop-up gallery concept for the patients doing art? So that's like a multi-tiered Big Mac of a question.
Well, the pop-up was, I think that the idea was to turn the gallery into a studio. And through conversations with Sherry, this notion of a pop-up space came about. I think my aha moment is sort of multi-tiered as well. I think initially it was as a client of art therapy back when I was 17, and more recently at Village Shalom over the years observing the residents' activities. And there was a one-day art show a little over a year ago. And it wasn't as satisfying as I felt like it should be. It just seemed like one day wasn't enough to really celebrate the work that they were doing. So I decided we really should just move this into the gallery and devote an exhibition to it and really give it the audience that it deserves.
What is therapeutic about art? We'll throw this question to Marcus, and then we'll get James involved. James has done a great collage, by the way. We'll have him describe that as we go along here on the show. What's therapeutic about art, Marcus?
Well, I think that for me as an artist, it's definitely it's transportive. I think that it allows someone to sort of get in touch with their inner thoughts and feelings and emotions, and it can be a vehicle for expressing those feelings, and also it can be relaxing, and it's an opportunity to explore your imagination. It's very liberating.
James, how is art patronage therapeutic for patients at a hospital, so to speak?
Well, art patronage.
Art viewing.
Art viewing. Well,
patronage too, either way.
What we do at the Center for the Healing Arts at Truman is to place, it's a so-called Art on the Walls program. It's to place art on view throughout the hospital. So it works a bit like a museum or a gallery. And I think from my perspective, it may work in a very subconscious level, that if the art were not there, we'd have blank walls. And having something there to take the patients somewhere else other than whatever they've come to the hospital for, basic level, I think we can all relate to that as being something healing. But there's also been research that shows that, in fact, when people have art in their surroundings, they have lowered blood pressure, lowered stress hormones, et cetera, et cetera.
But there's also a way, Sherry, where you can overdo it with art or artistic expression in a hospital environment. You have one such example where the walls were painted yellow. What happened?
I think color and images can be very powerful. And I worked in a psych hospital many years ago, and the psychiatric hospital decided to paint the adolescent unit a bright yellow. Yellow can often be an angry color. And in this particular environment, they had so many incidents of what we call codes, where children and adolescents had to be put in restraints, that the painting staff came in the middle of the night 2 days after they had painted this yellow and slapped blue paint on to bring back a calming color and restore sanity to the environment.
Right, because in a therapeutic setting, yellow doesn't always mean slow down.
Right, yellow means, yeah.
You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 FM, KCUR, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm Javelani LaFall. Art therapy is our topic today as we explore how residents of an assisted living community and hospital patients in general can find healing through their own artwork, and how art displayed in hospital settings can add to the healing process of patients as well. Marcus Kane, executive director and curator of the Kansas City Jewish Museum and an artist in his own right, is here, as well as Sherry Jacobs, an art therapist and president of the Kansas Art Therapy Association. We also have James Martin, the program consultant for the Truman Medical Center Healing Arts Program, and he's also an art historian. You can see some of the residents' artwork at the Epstein Gallery at the Kansas City Jewish Museum of Contemporary Art. Participation will remain on view through Sunday, February 26, 2012. That's the Epstein Gallery at the Kansas City Jewish Museum for Contemporary Art. Kansas City, in what ways have you yourself used art to heal your calamities and infirmities or those of a loved one? Give us a call at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or shoot us an email at centralstandard@kcur.org. Sherry, what are different types of art therapy?
Art therapy can be used in many, many, many different settings. As an art therapist, we're trained really in two different disciplines. One is art as therapy, where the art making is the therapeutic element. This is really true with Alzheimer's population, with young children. And the other line of thinking is art psychotherapy, where art is the the thing that we do, and then from there we have a springboard from which to dialogue and begin a psychotherapy.
So I'm going to pass my card around to you, Sherry. I'm going to pass it over to James here, and you can give me an evaluation really quick while we ask Marcus about the different types of art therapy, expressive versus process. What's the difference? Expressive art.
Well, I think that,
versus,
I mean,
process.
There's an opportunity with art therapy for the client to really participate in their therapy. I mean, they're communicating to the therapist their feelings and their interpretation of the work. And, you know, there are also situations in which artwork is then analyzed and studied by therapists, and information is drawn from that that maybe wasn't expressed by the client. So you can apply it in different ways. But the important thing is really obviously listening to the client and reading the artwork. I mean, it's a visual language and it's communicating something.
Where do you draw that line from art to psychology? Where do you pass it off and say, hey, psychologist, take a look at this?
Well, we have sort of a group dynamic at Village Shalom and the Epstein Gallery, where, you know, interestingly, there's certain things that come up that are somewhat universal within the group. So you understand that there's sort of a shared environment and they're expressing something about that shared environment that's common. Beyond that, there are some individual sort of opportunities to talk to someone and have them maybe express something a little bit more substantial and more a deeper level of communication. And really, at that point, it's between the therapist and the family and the various agencies that are there to support them, you know, their mental health.
What kind of work has been created in your space so far? And are there any moments you found especially moving or touching, Marcus?
Absolutely. I mean, this whole experience has really changed. It's a game changer for the organization, and I think for me personally. I've witnessed things being expressed that are common among a group of people that help you that give you insight into what living in an assisted living experience really offers.
What insight did you get?
Well, there was one instance where the artist who was leading a workshop asked everyone to paint a bird, and everyone had a bird on their page, and then she then asked them to create an environment for that bird. Where would you like for this bird to be? And all but one of them painted the bird in a cage.
Wow.
And
very telling.
It spoke to us immediately, and there was one individual who stopped herself and decided, no, I think I want this bird to be in the sky. I want it to be flying. And you know, really situations like that where people are communicating something to you, whether they realize it or not.
Was it all working simultaneously that they worked and put their birds in cages? Did they know what the other patient was working on?
I would say with our groups, even though they're in a group, they tend to work individually. And they also are in a situation where the therapist will work around the table and come to them individually and encourage them individually. So they aren't necessarily aware of what the other individuals are drawing. They're really, some of them, it's all they can do to focus on their own drawing. And so we actually encourage that as opposed to being aware of what the partner is doing next door or next to them or what someone's making across the table.
Sherry, in what ways do you use what you see in the artwork to take a more holistic approach toward healing a patient or being therapeutic for a patient, whether it's physical or mental? How do you use the art?
Well, we use the art really as a dialogue, as a springboard to start asking questions based on colors, based on symbols, based on images that people might incorporate into their artwork. With the elderly, which we're talking about, and with the Alzheimer's, really the beauty of art making in this population is that the creative arts really bypass their limitations, their verbal limitations, people who have experienced stroke, and it goes straight to the strengths in their brain. And there's such a rich imagination at this age, at this population.
You say we tend to think visually.
We tend to think visually.
So visual art is one of the prominent tools that you use
Absolutely.
Sherry and Marcus to get this therapy across.
Correct.
And what do you see? What do you see? What are the common themes?
There are quite a few themes. We see with young children, the art making, often the symbolism that comes out, children can work through a lot of their problems within the art, without actually bringing the problem back to themselves. They can work out entire scenarios in fantasy through puppets or through characters or through stick figures that they draw. With all different populations, the art can be very powerful.
So let's pause and look at a couple of these in-house, in-studio wall graffiti.
Okay, so we're going to start with Javelani's. And you asked
start with mine.
To evaluate it, but we generally only evaluate art in a setting. Like, I work at Marillac, and we're part of a treatment team.
I'm more interested in the psychological evaluation than I am in the artistic evaluation.
Right, no. So the psychological evaluation, the way we would generally start, a trained art therapist, the way we would start to evaluate is really throwing it back to you and say, Javelani, how are you feeling today?
Give it to me straight.
How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling okay.
Okay, so tell us about your art. That might be the second question.
It is a use of stencils and letters and numbers that I filled out randomly, kind of looking to decode my hands as I hosted a live radio show.
Okay, so I can see because you're distracted leading a radio show, so you probably weren't focusing 100% of attention to this. But did you find it relaxing as you were doing that?
I did actually focus 110% to it.
Okay.
The process was very deliberate in terms of the numbers I used and letters I used and words.
Okay, so tell us about that, if you're comfortable talking about it on the radio. Tell us more. Anything?
I have some binary code laid under there, some zeros and ones that I do over and over and over again.
Okay.
Maybe something that's repetitious that helps it.
Okay, so maybe it's a soothing.
Such robotic. You know, very soothing.
Okay, and so we'll bring it back to the theme of we asked people to sort of talk about self-love the day following Valentine's Day. So can you tell us some things you like about yourself, some strengths you admire in yourself, if you're comfortable talking about that?
I am too busy hosting a radio show.
Okay.
So maybe let's go to Don in Westport. You're on Central Standard, Don.
Thank you. I want to mention the example of Elizabeth Layton, who at the age of 68 cured her 35-year manic depression by learning to draw pictures of herself. And her exhibits were shown all over in this area and then nationally and then at the Smithsonian in 1992. And you can see 16 of her drawings on permanent exhibit at the Landon Center on Aging, which is on Rainbow, just north of the KU Med Center. And all of these drawings deal with life in a nursing home.
Thank you, Don, for your contribution to the conversation here on art therapy, the Art Therapy Hour here on Central Standard, as we have Sherry Jacobs, an art therapist, Marcus Kane, an artist and executive director and curator at the Kansas City Jewish Museum, and James Martin, program consultant for the Truman Medical Center Healing Arts Program. Can you pass your graffiti card over to Sherry and talk a little bit about what?
I'd like to respond to the caller.
Sherry would also like to respond to the caller.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that you brought up Elizabeth Layton. She's a really remarkable story of a Kansas resident, and her work was done with a very famous art therapist from Kansas named Bob Ault, really one of the pioneers in the art therapy field. And then later with Avis Garrett Baptist, a local art therapist here. And she had a horrible depression that was incurable over a 30-year period. She had no way of dealing with this and took a contour class. And this was an example of art as therapy and healed herself through drawing. And her artwork is remarkable. If anybody has a chance to look it up online or visit where the caller that called in.
How does that work with depression? You ask people how they feel, and you look at a piece of art and you ask them how they feel.
Well, I think
how does it work?
Allowing people to dialogue, to share parts of themselves, to talk more about things and to tap into parts of themselves that they might have been hiding from themselves.
We had an exercise here live on Central Standard called the Tiny Graffiti Wall that folks can also do from home. If we've been coaching listeners on this art exercise, just take a pen or a crayon or a marker or a Sharpie and free write. Use your tiny graffiti wall to express whatever you want. Email the results to centralstandard@kcur.org. org, and we'll evaluate them or talk with you about them. 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. And we also like to know, what about art is therapeutic for you? Angela, welcome to Central Standard.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I'm an art therapist, and I work with Naturally Yours, is a traveling art therapy company. I've been working with hospice for 6 years. I just wanted to share with you that, you know, I've helped many people in the dying process at the end of their life, and I've seen remarkable things that have happened. The people who cannot talk, they, you know, have Alzheimer's, and, you know, it's not possible for them to talk anymore, but yet they can have a meaningful dialogue with me through their artwork.
Thank you, Angela, for sharing your thoughts. Erin in the Plaza area, welcome to Central Standard.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Erin.
I just wanted to add two things. I would encourage everyone to have a blackboard in their home. It's a very freeing process. Also, the show that you've presented to the public inspires people to bring art into their homes that might not have considered it before, even bringing some of their drawings that they've done in your workshops or at other times into their homes and putting it on the wall is sort of a really freeing, happy feeling to see your work up on the wall or your friend's work up on the wall. It's a great socialization process that you're carrying on there, and also communication without necessarily talking, which is very important to some people, as you know. And I think it's just a wonderful process, and I hope it continues.
Thank you, Erin, for your contribution to the conversation. Sherry, you say we've trained ourselves to lie verbally or evade, as I did earlier in the hour when we were talking about my collage and my mental state on live radio. But art doesn't lie. Expound on that, if you will. You say art doesn't lie, and that's what makes it so effective in therapeutic sense.
I think I'll use the population of addictions. This is a population that responds well to art therapy. And denial is usually one of the main topics that people like to discuss when they are inpatient in a dual diagnosis unit or in a rehab facility. And once we ask people to draw something like maybe about their addictions, because it's a technique we don't use very often, the truth often comes out very quickly, and we save ourselves months and months of time of traditional talk therapy because the information of, I mean, maybe simple, very simple art directives such as like draw a bridge and maybe put yourself on the bridge, and the bridge might represent where you are in terms of your recovery. They might put themselves off the bridge. They might not even be on the page. They might be at the end of the bridge. They might be the middle of the bridge. In a way, this would set up a goal and show where their goals are in terms of addictions and recovery. And it's very revealing, much more revealing than talk therapy.
Our guests are Sherry Jacobs, art therapist and president of the Kansas Art Therapy Association, Marcus Kane, he's the executive director of the Kansas City Jewish Museum and an artist in his own right. James Martin is the program consultant for the Truman Medical Center Healing Arts Program. We're going to take a quick break in our discussion about art therapy. And when we return, we hear a therapeutic and artistic story that will come out of the mouth of babes. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Jabalani LaFall. Up now at the Epstein Gallery in Overland Park is a pop-up exhibit called Artisipation. The show uses therapy workshops for the residents and showcases their work. I'm joined by James Martin, a program consultant at the Truman Medical Center Healing Arts Program. He's also an art historian and independent art curator. Marcus Kane is the executive director, also joins us from the Kansas City Jewish Museum. Marcus, tell us about what's unique about this art space over at the Epstein Gallery. It's literally embedded in the Village Shalom retirement housing complex.
Absolutely. I mean, in fact, it's unfortunate there are not more places like this. It's modeled after an assisted living community up in upstate New York, which is probably the closest example to something like this. But it is located inside an assisted living campus. The gallery, we see over 9,000 visitors a year. So it isn't just for the residents. It's open to the public. And a lot of people come to Village Shalom to visit families and are not expecting to have an art experience, which is great. We also have a lot of people coming specifically to the gallery not expecting to have an assisted living experience. So it's really, it's a great opportunity to expose people to art on a daily basis who live there, and as well as a lot of the people who come to visit who might not otherwise come to an assisted living community.
We have a few listeners contributing to the conversation about art therapy. Donna in KC Mo wants to know where she could point someone for art therapy here in KC on the Missouri side. She's curious if it's effective for other mental health treatments such as ADHD. I'll direct that question to Sherry.
Absolutely.
ADHD. How's it help?
ADHD, absolutely. There's so many different aspects to it. First of all, I'd like to say if you're interested in finding local art therapists, if you look at our website, kansasarttherapy.org, we have a list of private practice art therapists and can mention many facilities that that offer treatment for.
Donna was asking specifically about ones on the Missouri side. Do you have those in the whole metro area?
All over North Raymore, as far south as Raymore, as far west as Lee Summit, and the Northland, all over Kansas City area. Absolutely.
Becky writes on Facebook that art therapy is used a lot at Children's Mercy Hospital. There's a great display cabinet at the security entrance to the hospital that can be seen from both inside and outside. James, how do you display art in a hospital? What's the curatorial process that goes into placing art in strategic places so that the eyes of both patients and visitors can catch it, mm-hmm. so that it blends in?
Excellent question. There's been a fair amount of research done on exactly what types of art contributes to a positive health impact for patients. Generally speaking, it's something that's more traditional in terms of a landscape, floral imagery, et cetera. In other words, representational art, perhaps more so than abstract art. Now, we do have abstract art there, but that's, we think of it as, you know, perhaps directed toward employees, et cetera, because we have...
Right. And how do you make that choice? That's a delicate balance between, mm-hmm. you know, landscapes, lilies, calming, natural environments depicted in artistic works versus abstract, sharp images, shapes, mm-hmm. maybe some abrupt, maybe even violent shifts in color or
right.
dimensions.
Well,
how do you make that distinction?
Well, probably the most prominent abstract art we have are these paintings by an artist named Tony Ramos. And they are generally circular in orientation. They have a lot of, they look like beaded elements applied to the canvas. They, you'll see geometric shapes in there also, like cross forms, et cetera. People tend to talk about them in terms of them looking like a mandala or something that you would meditate on. And so they have a very calming presence once you get to know them a little bit. And so, you know, that is the type of abstract art we would tend to go for that is can contribute to calming, et cetera. Now, depending on what part of the building it's in some areas we have things that are more boldly colored that aren't necessarily in patient areas.
In that sense, is getting to know a piece therapeutic in and of itself?
Well, there's been research that shows that anything that can distract patients from whatever they're in the hospital for can lead to lowered stress hormones, lowered blood pressure, lowered heart rates, et cetera. And so, yeah, the idea of one coming, you know, to a painting multiple times over their stay to learn more and more about it could certainly have a positive impact.
Sherry, one of the things that's interesting about art therapy and art representation in hospice settings or in settings where there are sick people or infirmed people is this cross-generational teachable moment for kids and adults and older Americans alike. Talk about that.
Absolutely. That's actually one of the goals of Artisipation was to create an intergenerational experience. And we have, I think, can safely say we have succeeded beyond our wildest expectations.
Absolutely.
Of every single class we've offered this month. We brought in children and people from the outside world and sat them specifically so they would be set in an intergenerational way. And the interaction was incredible. They were all presented with the same art directives and participated in the same art making, and it was very nice to see the exchange taking place.
Right now, we're going to get a sense of the exchanges that go on in this workshop in just a few moments. We sent our producer, Andrea Salenzi, out to watch one of these workshops. Sherry, set us up for us. Tell us about the tree painting workshop that Ms. Andrea Salenzi went out.
Okay, so for this this particular day, we decided to focus on trees, painting trees, and the trees representing ourselves, the roots, the branches. And this was done in conjunction with an artist, Barb Jacobs, was the painter, and myself as the art therapist. And we had kindergartners, the kindergartners' parents, and the residents. And everyone was asked to draw and paint, and it was wonderful. It was a wonderful experience.
Andrea Salenzi was so overwhelmed and stimulated by this activity that she ended up just outsourcing the piece and outsourcing the interview to a girl named Ella, who is 6¾ years old. So Ella, young Ella, had to take over for Andrea. Ella's first assignment was to approach one of the residents, Edna, out at Village Shalom, a resident with Alzheimer's disease, and ask her a few questions.
What can I do for you?
Tell us about your tree.
Your tree? It's a beautiful tree, and he's been here for years, and he's just starting to bloom out. See all the blooms are coming out of it? Yeah, he's blooming out. He's getting some new flowers now.
How old are your tree?
How old is my tree? My tree's probably about, I'd say, she's about 6 years old, like you.
Six and three quarters.
Oh, that's, I'm sorry. I thought you were, I guess wrong, didn't I?
Where do you live and what's your name?
My name is Edna, and I'm from Kansas City, Missouri. And I came here tonight to look for some, well, we're looking for something that was, that,
Do you like to paint?
I love to paint. I've painted all my life. I've got a garage full of painted pictures that I painted years and years and years and years and years and years. too many years, honey. I love it. I love to paint.
Do you like to paint?
Kind of. Yes.
I think you do too, honey. It's fun, isn't it? And the more you paint, the better you get. You get more beautiful. And your painting gets more beautiful.
What's this one called?
I like the necklace you're wearing.
The necklace. What am I wearing? I don't even know what I'm wearing. Oh, this is an old one, a real old one. I've had this for years and years and years and years and years and years and years. What's your name?
Ella.
Ella? My name's Edna. So we're almost alike, Ella and Edna. Well, that's wonderful.
Intrepid reporting by our on-spot 6-year-old Ella. And a beautiful conversation and exchange between Ella and Edna out at the Village Shalom. We're talking about art therapy and cross-generational boundaries and art therapy and how that fosters that conversation. Sherry, what did you observe in listening back to that conversation between Ella and Edna?
Well, it's interesting. We had about 25 participants that day. And although I don't like to analyze people's art, this one, I think it spoke volumes because of the residents. Everybody drew their trees as winter without leaves. Edna was the one example of a person that drew flowers and a blossoming tree and flowers all around. The children participating in the activity drew young trees in spring and summer. And all the adults as well drew trees in summer, which was interesting.
We observed Edna drop out of the conversation a little bit and drop off. How is art therapy used for Alzheimer's patients specifically?
Well, it's interesting that actually in the field of neuroscience, we're really tapping into finding out what exactly is happening. And what exactly is happening is that with memory loss, the verbal parts of our brain start to fade first. And the parietal lobe really is one of the last places to be affected by Alzheimer's and by memory loss. And when that's really the part of the brain that's the most affected by creative outlets through music and art. So when a person like Edna comes into my group, she's a painter. She was a painter before she came to Village Shalom over her lifetime. She often comes very tired, not connected to anything. As soon as she starts painting, as soon as she starts connecting with the art, she wakes up and it just taps into a side of her where we're really going into the parts of her brain where the strengths are.
You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 FM. KCUR, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm Jabalani LaFall. Art therapy is our topic today as we explore how residents of an assisted living community and hospital patients and the general public all find healing through their own artwork. Our guests are Marcus Kane of the Kansas City Jewish Museum. Sherry Jacobs is a local art therapist and president of the Kansas City Art Therapy Association. And James Martin, who curates art exhibits and projects for hospital settings. He's a consultant for the Truman Medical Center Healing Arts Program and also an art historian. Kansas City, in what ways have you yourself used art to heal your calamities and infirmities or those of a loved one? Give us a call at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or shoot us an email at centralstandard@kcur.org. James, has art been used historically as a therapeutic channel?
Oh, yeah, certainly. Even back to the Renaissance period and, early Renaissance period, you would find altarpieces in these hospital settings, and the hospitals were actually in churches very often. And there's one particular example where I'm thinking of where people suffered skin diseases, et cetera. And so the image of Jesus Christ that they had on this particular altarpiece showed him with skin diseases so that the people there could relate and be inspired by that imagery.
Marcus Kane, you just passed your little tiny graffiti wall to Sherry. So let's check back in with Sherry on Marcus Kane's tiny graffiti wall. He's an artist. He's been doodling here during the live radio program. Describe it for us, Sherry, and then let's grill Marcus on his process.
Okay, so Marcus, we're working with little index cards, by the way. Marcus wrote Art Equals Life using his little stencil here with the alphabet stencils, and it's outlined in purple and orange. And I'm not going to analyze it. I'm going to go back and say, Marcus, how are you feeling today?
Yeah, tell us about your project.
I would say that the radiating lines maybe express a little bit of anxiety and excitement for being here. The Art Equals Life is something that I believe in, and I think that it's something that it's a quality of life issue, I think, for myself and a lot of individuals. Beyond meeting the basics of life, what makes us human, I believe, is something like art.
Listeners, it's not too late to get involved with your own tiny graffiti wall. Get out a piece of paper or an index card or a stencil or a pen or whatever you have in front of you if you are listening within the sound of our voices, and email your response and your process into us at centralstandard@kcur.org or call in at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Let us know how your work came out. What were the early models, James, if any, for art therapy programs? Do you know, as an art historian? Are there early models for that? You mentioned the renderings of Christ as infirmed to help the infirmed.
Right.
When did we start hearing about artist therapy?
Well, some of the 19th century artists that we've become very familiar with, they wouldn't have necessarily thought of themselves as undergoing therapy when they're making their art. But in popular culture, people have gone back and said, oh, yes, well, this is obviously a very therapeutic type of art. And, of course, the famous example is Vincent van Gogh. I mean, he would not have...
He was heard all around the world, his art.
Yes, absolutely.
Was heard all around the world, literally. He sent it out. Speaking of which, Freud, the father of psychology, was obsessed with the subconscious, which is very visual when expressed visually and artistically. When did we first start seeing models of art therapy?
Well, that's a good question. Actually, many of the pioneers in art therapy were really based in the Freudian ideas. One particular woman who came actually from Austria, who surprisingly was the art as therapy pioneer, and a woman in the United States by the name of Edith Kramer also believed in really was entrenched in the Freudian psychoanalysis, and using art to pull that out of a person rather than using words is really reaching that subconscious level so much faster.
James, tell us about art and its relation to hospitals. Does it involve a different type of curatorial approach from a regular gallery?
Absolutely.
In what way?
Well, just the other day I was talking to somebody with the potential of loaning some art to us, and they had some – it was imagery of horses by Mexican artists, and one of them was a Day of the Dead type of imagery with skeletons, and I had to explain that that probably wasn't going to work in a hospital setting.
Not so much.
And, of course, immediately when I said it, the person said, oh, absolutely, yes, I understand, but you have to put on a different set of glasses when you're looking at art.
Speaking of a different set of glasses, tell us about some of the upcoming exhibits, arrivals, and installations, such as photographs of Jeff Mitchum, for instance.
That's right. There's a photographer based in Las Vegas, Nevada, named Jeff Mitchum. These are very beautiful panoramic landscape photographs, and we will have a number of them coming on display. They should be up by April 1st.
Marcus, as an artist, have you learned anything from the patient artists you've worked with? And what can people expect from this community exhibit at the Jewish Museum of Contemporary Art?
Well, I think that I think people can expect to be surprised by their own creative potential coming to this exhibition, and particularly seeing a space that has thus far exhibited artwork by known and established artists locally, regionally, nationally, to come into a space and see artwork by your peers, I think can be a real motivating force. I've certainly learned to be thankful for the abilities that I have, certainly thankful that I have a means of expressing myself through artwork, and that essentially I've also learned that everyone has this sort of creative potential. It's just a matter of drawing it out of them.
How does this project help with your own art? How has it affected your own art process?
I think about that a lot, and whether I'm drawing boundaries between my own artistic process or you know, where to send an idea, whether I bring it into my day job, so to speak, or the studio. And I think I've learned to really be open to that exchange rather than draw a line between the two.
We have Linda in KCK. Welcome to Central Standard.
Hi, thank you. I'd like to just share an experience where I believe art was therapeutic in my life and my family. About 15 years ago, going through a divorce, my children were very young, like 3 and 5, and for some reason, I enrolled through this divorce situation when our family was being pulled apart. I enrolled my youngest daughter in a parent-child art class at, I think it was at the Art Institute, KC. And it was very interesting because every week, a different parent had to take her because we were doing joint custody. And the class was such that the child did an art project, the parent alongside did an art project, and then they exchanged, and the child embellished the parents, and the parents embellished the child's art. And it was interesting because every other week a different parent had to take the child. And so I was like, how is this going to work out? Because the next week my ex was going to be taking the child, and I was like, oh, why did I do this? But it actually ended up very interesting for me to see how the other parent interacted, and it gave me a better appreciation for the parent through this stressful time. And it ended up I kept a lot of the artwork from my child, who's now 20 years old. So it was very therapeutic and a very tense time for our family.
Thank you, Linda, for your contribution to this conversation about art therapy. Cher Jacobs, what do we learn from our young people and our elders about how art can be therapeutic for us in the middle of that age range?
I think the middle of the age range, that art also can be just as powerful as with both of those populations. Also, again, I'm sorry if I keep repeating myself, but just as a way of just having a better opportunity for self-exploration, a better opportunity to get to know ourselves better.
Personally and professionally for you as an art therapist, from your epiphany with the Bedouins in Israel, what do you hope to achieve with patients and clients at the end of the day? Is there one goal?
My goal really is for a person to have one of those aha moments themselves, to come face to face with whatever it is that is burdening them, and then to guide them through that, working through those feelings.
Just to remind our listeners, Sherry Jacobs got into the art therapy business through an encounter with Bedouins in Israel, nomadic herdsmen who move from place to place, and said in order to adjust to the modern society, they could use art therapy. Did you end up giving them some art therapy?
I didn't then.
What was the end result of that? Did you ever revisit that?
I didn't, but that's one of my goals, is to do art therapy abroad, which art therapy is taking shape in all different parts of the planet and the globe. It's a very, very big growing field.
Were they specific about what type of art therapy that they wanted or needed?
They weren't.
They weren't specific about it at all?
No.
Marcus, what are you doing going forward with some of your art therapy? What are some upcoming projects?
Well, I think, initially it has made sense for us to sort of approach this through the lens of visual art. What we're realizing is that there are some clients who, whether they have vision problems, it's an opportunity to move this into other disciplines within the art community. I'd really like to see the art community and the therapy communities really collaborating on a higher level and to have programs like this replicated in other similar kinds of locations.
Our guests are Marcus Kane, Executive Director and Curator of the Kansas City Jewish Museum, Sherry Jacobs, an art therapist and president of the Kansas Art Therapy Association, and James Martin, who's a program consultant for the Truman Medical Center Healing Arts Program, also an art historian and independent curator. You can see some of the residents' work at the Epstein Gallery at the Kansas City Jewish Museum of Contemporary Art. Participation will remain on view through Sunday, February 26, 2012. And there's some upcoming exhibits at the Truman Hospital, too.
Jeff Mischem, as I mentioned, will be up by April 1st. And we've also got an exhibition of a local artist named Gene Howard that will be up in March.
That was James Martin at the Truman Medical Center telling you about the exhibits coming up there. Thank you all for joining us today on Central Standard.
Okay.
And tune in tomorrow for the sounds of woodcocks, a.k.a. timber doodles, frogs that sing choruses, and find out the latest in snow owl fashions. It will be an interesting nature in the city, folks. Our show is produced by Andreas Lindsay with help from Charlie Upchurch. Up to Date is next with a look at the struggle over teaching evolution. I'm Jabalani LaFall. This is Central Standard. Enjoy your day.